In this episode of Political Ideologies, we'll be looking at the conservative principle of paternalism. If we deconstruct the word paternalism, it comes from the Latin word pater, which means father. In this sense then, for conservatives, the state should act like a father to its citizens. Now, depending on the strand of conservatism, this could be either in a very authoritarian way, or it can be as a benign power, a kind of guiding power that is not interfering as much as necessary, but probably will intervene on questions of morality. The key point here is that power is coming from above to the people below. Now, we've already discussed this idea of the organic society. So the people who are most likely to be above and therefore to be the kind of, fathers of the nation are the government, who are most likely to be led by people who have that position by virtue of their birth or their inheritance or their upbringing. Now, Edmund Burke, our key thinker, believed in a natural aristocracy, thinking that the aristocracy were the people who, you know, should act like a father for a family by kind of making decisions on their behalf. Kind of this idea that the aristocracy knows better than other people. Can be problematic for modern conservatism in a way. But the principle of paternalism is most closely linked with the strand of one nation conservatism, which is much more to the centre of the political spectrum than other forms of conservatism. Now, one nation conservatism is associated with the conservative Prime Minister Benjamin Disraeli, who was Prime Minister between 1874 and 1880. But before he was a politician, Disraeli actually wrote various novels, one of which was called Coningsby and another one was called Sybil, written in 1844 and 1845 respectively. And these books, essentially, Disraeli was warning that Britain was dividing into two separate nations, a nation of the rich and a nation of the poor. And if you think about the principle of organic society, if you start to see that society is breaking apart somehow into two separate, isolated units, then there is more likely to be a social revolution. Now, as a conservative, of course, you want to keep tradition, and you may make pragmatic changes in order to keep those traditions. So in order to avoid a social revolution, which had happened in various other countries, France being a key example, but during the 19th century, there were lots of wars of independence and reunification, such as Germany unifying into one country, Italy unifying into one country, Greece becoming independent of the Ottoman Empire, for instance. There's lots of changes going on in Europe, and conservatives wanted to avoid a massive change like that. But if you could see that the rich and the poor were becoming more and more divided, then the aristocratic classes who held the power and authority in society at the time realised that they perhaps were not living up to the social obligations that they have in society in order to look after the poor in their communities. So Disraeli argued that there needed to be a much stronger emphasis on paternalism in a monetary sense as well. So the upper classes could keep their advantage in society, but they had to recognise their obligation to alleviate social issues. So there was much, you know, kind of greater emphasis on philanthropy for rich people to set up things like schools, for instance. You know, and that actually still happens today, doesn't it, with the introduction of academies where, you know, people with lots of money can set up schools and fund them now that it's been kind of, you know, privatized in that way. And other types of, you know, social things like bathhouses, libraries. You know, if you walk around most towns, you know, libraries and things will have a name associated with a famous 19th century philanthropist who gave money in order to set it up. And also along these lines, there was a greater emphasis on business people looking after their workers in factories and to improve conditions for tenants as well. So if you were a landlord, that you actually, you know, kind of had to look after the housing that you owned to a better standard. The reasoning behind this is quite well summed up by Disraeli's quote from his book that says that the palace is not safe if the cottage is not happy. So again, that is this idea that in order for tradition and hierarchy to be maintained and to avoid a potentially dangerous or chaotic social revolution, the lower classes need to have better conditions. They need to be looked after by the people who are above them in society, just like a father should look after their children. But with this metaphor of parental guidance, let's say, there's also a kind of undercurrent that the majority of people need to accept and recognize and respect the authority of the people in charge. So again, like a son or daughter kind of respecting the position of a parent in the household, even if they want to be rebellious and kind of, you know, feel like rules that are put in place are unfair, that actually there is an understanding that the authority needs to be respected. So there are two different kind of versions of paternalism. You've got soft paternalism, which is the idea that the people or the people who are the recipients of the paternalism actually give consent to the things that are being offered to them, or you've got hard paternalism where it's kind of imposed in an authoritarian manner from above. Now, we think about the formation of the One Nation strand of conservatism under Disraeli in the mid-19th century. It's no surprise that it evolves in the mid-19th century when the Industrial Revolution is well underway and the suffering and exploitation that had been created by the free market and, you know, the working conditions of the poor in industrial cities was becoming more and more obvious. And essentially it was becoming too much for the upper classes to ignore anymore because of the slums and all of this kind of stuff. The free market and a kind of laissez-faire attitude had led to social fragmentation, essentially. So One Nation conservatism accepts that the state has an obligation itself to intervene in certain ways in people's lives. If we fast forward a little bit to Harold Macmillan, who was Prime Minister from 1957 to 63, he had written about, before he was Prime Minister, the idea of a middle way economic approach, which he described as private enterprise without selfishness. Because he was arguing that the free market led to this social fragmentation, but equally, if you fully nationalised and state planned everything, then that can stifle the growth of entrepreneurship. And, you know, David Cameron, it was an inheritor of this One Nation approach. He, you know, called his conservatism compassionate conservatism, his emphasis on the big society, this idea that, you know, paternalism would allow the government to regulate the economy and provide some social welfare to improve the conditions for the very poorest in society. There is a strand of conservatism, though, that you might already be starting to realise kind of bucks some of these trends in these principles, and that it rejects paternalism in particular is neoliberalism. So the argument for neoliberals is that state control undermines the ability of humans to come up with you know, new initiatives and new enterprises, new business, etc., and that creates economic stagnation. For neoliberals as well, the idea of paternalism affects the idea of individualism, because it suggests that the state needs to act in this kind of, you know, parental way rather than individuals seeking help themselves, or, you know, coming up with their own individual ideas. And so, you know, Margaret Thatcher, you know, was famously very against the nanny state or a dependency culture, which she believed this principle of paternalism created. So paternalism is this principle that aims for the state to act in a more fatherly or parental way. But the key thing to remember of what it's trying to achieve is still to strengthen the hierarchical nature of society by removing threats to the already established social order. So it may create some change, it's certainly important for One Nation conservatives, but the idea is still heavily linked to tradition and the organic society.